I'm interested in the white boys.
Oh.
And I believe that you were a white boy at one time.
Well, I have the distinction of being the sole survivor of the white boys and also a participant in Hunt the Rain. Right. Now, I'm not quite as old as Methuselah, not quite, but I'm pretty on that way. I was born and bred in Castletown, lived my 87 years on and off the island as just after the war, when there was no work here, I was obliged by necessity and poverty to work on the mainland, which I did successfully. However, I was working for the LMS, repairing the retaining walls neglected during the wartime. And I got a telegram, father very ill, and in those days, when you got a telegram, you looked into the worst. So I just packed up my bags and went home, and my father lived virtually forevermore. However, it didn't matter. But when I came home again, back to the island, there was very little work here then. And by a stroke of chance, I met a lady, and she said to me, "Now, Freestone," she said, "you're just the chap I'm looking for." I said, "Am I, madam?" She said, "Yes." She said, "I want you to lay out my garden." "Oh," I said, "I'm a builder." "No," she said, "your father was a gardener." She said, "A little must have rubbed off onto you." So I set to and laid out her garden. And she was forever grateful for that. And after that, I found various odds and sods to do. And up to now, I have survived. I'm still here.
So how did you get involved with the white boys?
Ah, now then. There were five of us in the white boys. There was a John Kelly Cubbon, Fred Phillips, Teddy Blackburn, who became the town clerk, and my brother and I. And the white boys actually was a takeoff of George and the Dragon, if you like, you know, good over evil. And we went round, as I say, on the white boys, getting a few bob here and a few bob there for Christmas, which in those days, sixpence was a lot of money, you know. And when we got there, to the end of our run, if you like, you know, we pooled the money and shared it out. And if we got 2 shillings, we were lucky. But however, as I say, the white boys was a takeoff of George and the Dragon, good over evil. And it was a bit of fun, you know.
Which character were you?
I was St. Valentine. Ah, now, my head is made of iron, my body made of steel, my legs are made of pipe shanks. I'll cause you all to yield. Enter St. George. Now, I introduced them, you see, and then St. George came in and they had a bit of a battle, you know, and then Teddy Blackburn, as they say, who became the town clerk of Castletown, he was the doctor. He always had to be the doctor to cure all ills. Yeah. And he had the potion. Oh, rixum, praxum, hixum, tertum, high, diggle, them, cockle, them, jig. And he had it all weighed up, you know. And that was his cure all for things like that. And then the white boys, as I say, led up to Christmas. And then after Christmas, you see, we had then the hunt, the wren, which was on Boxing Day. And and Mrs. Brain, who lived in the terrace right off the gasworks, in fact, she lived in number 9, Milner Terrace, and she decked us out in yellow and green crepe paper with a hoop and a wren on the top. And we went around, not like these drunken yobs today come out of the phone, on the wren, and on. No, we did the hunt of wren proper. And we got a few shillings, you know, which didn't matter. We enjoyed doing it.
Back to the white boys, what were the names of the other characters? I mean, you were...
Well, we were, as implied, the white boys and Mrs. Blackburn, Teddy Blackburn's mother and sister, decked us all out in white paper coats and things, hats full on, you know, as the white boys. And we went round, and as I say, it was a moment's play depicting George and the Dragon, good over evil. And I forget the various characters, you know, who took place, but Teddy Blackburn, as I say, the Turtlock, had to be the doctor. He had to be the doctor.
How did you learn the play? How did you learn your lines? Did
no, that's another thing. To go back again to Lady Wilson, and then she's got the whole thing, but there, about 44 pages. Of course, when you knocked on the door and asked people, do you want the white boys, you see? I mean, we couldn't possibly go through 40-odd pages. So, of course, we compiled it until we just had a little sensible enough conversation to go around, sort of thing. And, as I say, we went from door to door, knocking on the door, do you want the white boys? And that was it. And we were invited in and into the living room, if you like, the drawing room in those days. And we did our play and passed the hat round, and we got whatever, couple of shillings, whatever we got, you see. And then when we done our run, we divided it out, and that was our Christmas spend, you know. And as I say, I was St. Valentine and Teddy Blackburn was the doctor. And Fred Phillips and my brother, there was a John Kelly Coben, Teddy Blackburn, John Kelly Coben, Fred Phillips, Teddy Blackburn, and my brother and I, the five who made up the white boys. And as I say, we did a bit of a battle there, you know, and then that was it.
Which houses did you go to? Was this in the Castletown area?
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody knew us, you see. I mean, in those days, you could leave a key in the door, you know, and you could leave your door open. But today, if you left the door open, your television would be gone. But not in those days. And everybody knew everybody else. And nobody was jealous of anybody because they had nothing to be jealous of, you know. And as I say, I was born 20 Parliament Square, which is near the quays, doesn't matter. And the people that I grew up with, you know, the Craigs and the Hudsons and the Kellys, we were all much about the same age. And we never strayed off our patch, if you like, you know. And to go up to the Market Square, my word, that was an adventure. And I never knew that the Apostles' Bridge existed until I went to school, which was Victoria Road School, under the mastership of J.P. Corcoran. He was a very sane, stern master, but he had the ability to impart his knowledge to you. And if you were not in a position to absorb his knowledge, he frowned on you. He didn't like it if you were, how shall I say, not stupid, but a little bit slow to comprehend, you know. He didn't like it at all. And eventually, I put my name down to join the Navy. And he wrote me out a testimonial, if you like, which would have taken me into the pearly gates. However, I didn't make the Navy, I didn't make the Army. So I became a Home Guard, if you like, Dad's Army. Oh, it was all right.
How early did you go out with the white boys? I mean, when did you decide that it's now the time for the white boys?
Well, it was a period, if you like, a period advent, if you like, running up to Christmas was the time, you know. And then after Christmas, of course, that didn't finish for another year. And the next thing to take over, like I told you, was the Hunter then. You see, that was on Boxing Day. And when that was finished, that was you finished for the next year.
Did you go out with the same group to do Hunter Wren as you did with the white boys?
No. No. Oh, no. Definitely not. The white boys was a band organised by Teddy Blackburn's mother and sister, you know. She organised that, and she had us dressed up, as I say, in the white linen or white crepe paper, if you like, you know, in those days.
No. And did you have to rehearse every year to remember your lines?
No. The lines were implanted. They were implanted there for year after year. But, I mean, of course, as you grew older, you didn't bother to go out. I mean, that was a sort of a youth stunt, or a teen, up to a teenage, and then you finished then. You had other things to think about when you were a teenager.
So how old were you when you first went out with the white boys?
Oh, I'd be about 10.
What year would that be?
About 30, 31 time, you know. Because 1929, I had pneumonia, and I spent 6 months in Delamere Forest recouping from the pneumonia. But I'm still here, survived.
And what age were you when you gave up the white boys?
Well, when you become a teenager, you see, like I say, you had other things to think about, you know. And that was the white boys finished until you, trained or encouraged another group to take over the white boys, you see. But today, they have these drunken yobs coming out of the pub at 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, going around shouting hump of them, things like that. You see, well, we treated it with respect, you know, which is hump of them, you know, which went down to 144 verses. And how will we kill him, and how will we catch him, and how will we cook him, you know. The Brewer's Big Pot was the eventual end of the robin at the then. Oh, yeah.
Did anyone take over the White Boys from you? Or were you the last White Boys in Castletown?
To the best of my knowledge, we were the last of the White Boys, you see. Because after that, you had your own vocation to follow, you see, but this time you become a teenager and you had to survive and learn a trade, you see, or do various other things. Like Fred Phillips, he became a seaman with the Steam Packet Company, and he eventually became a purser on the Steam Packet Company. Now, John Kelly Coven, I forget what happened to him, really, or whether he was lost in the wartime, I'm not quite sure. But another friend of mine, Arthur Clegg, he was lost in the wartime on the HMS Illustrious. He went down all hands, because they got a bomb down the funnel at that particular boat. And Teddy Blackman, of course, he became the town clerk of Castletown. He was the general factotum, if you like. He told everybody what to do in Castletown. But he inherited that, if you like, from his father, who was R.H. Blackburn, the town clerk, you see. So it became automatic that he, Teddy Blackburn, would become town clerk, see, which he did do. But he was a nice enough chap, Teddy. He didn't harm anybody, and he never told anybody what to do, you know. He just let you carry on.
Had his father been a White Boy?
His father, no. I don't know how we come to become organised in the White Boys. Like Teddy Blackburn, like his mother and sister, they were the organisers of us as the White Boys. And as I say, where they got their knowledge or their learning from, you know, with the White Boys, I'm not quite sure. But they had all the papers there, you know. Now, Lady Wilson, again, has got all the White Boys, but she's got about 144 pages. Well, you couldn't take all them down to various houses, so we just compiled it down until we had just 5 minutes sort of thing in someone's house, you know, and then that was it until the next time.
Were there any houses that refused the White Boys?
No, oh no. Nobody said to you, we don't want you. They just, like I said before, Castletown and the Isle of Man in those days was a community, you know. Everybody knew each other, and everybody welcomed you in the door. Nobody threw you out. Oh, no. It was a happy time. I mean, like I said to you before, nobody had anything to be jealous of, because no one had anything to be jealous of. Simple as that. Everybody was a community, and everybody absorbed and loved each other, which is a wonderful feeling, you know. And the people I grew up with, Well, as I say, some were lost in the wartime, and some went their own ways to A, work on the mainland, or do whatever they wanted to do. But we're still friends, you know.
What time of day would the white boys go out? Was it in the afternoon or the evening?
It'd be in the evening, late afternoon and the early evening, you see, just before supper time, when everybody was there to embrace you, see. And after supper time, well, of course, everybody went to bed, sort of thing. But up to supper time, after mid-afternoon to early evening, that's when we went on the white boys. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And how many houses would you do?
Well,
in an app?
Possibly about 7, 8 maybe, you know. And if you collected a few bob and sorted it all out, you're lucky if you ended up with 2 shillings apiece.
So do you enjoy being a white boy? Did you look forward to it?
Well, it was an achievement, if you like, you know, having done something, which was something, you know. And as youths in those days, we never went in, like, not like today, when they go into the pub from about 15 or 16. We never went in the pub, you know. We kept ourselves away from the pub. In fact, my mother was one of the promoters of the British Women's Total Abstinence Union. Right? That's neither touch, taste, nor handle the beer. And my father, he was a hard-working man, a gardener, and having lost a lot of perspiration during the day, he would call in the pub and have a pint or two on the way home. And in fact, one particular day, he called over to me and said, "How are you doing, boy?" I said, "Not bad." He said, "There's something wrong with that clock," he said. I said, "Is it?" "Oh, my." I said, "Why then?" Well, he said, "It keeps moving." I said, "Never mind." I said, "We shouldn't have stopped for that." But my mother, her name was Kewish, K-E-W-I-S-H. Well, you would call that Kewish. Well, we call that Kewish, hard Kewish. Now, she was one of the oldest families in the Isle of Man. In fact, there was a Kewish home slung and quartered in the 1400 Rebellion, the Workers' Rebellion. So that's how far the Kewishes go back. But but my name, Freestone, as I say, was a Cambridgeshire name. And my grandfather came over to be coachman hostler for Jefferson's Ballarat. And that's how we came to be here. And my father was born in Douglas and I was born in Castlepen. So that gives me the liberty to call myself Max.
Do you remember any other groups at Christmas? Do you remember the Mollet Band, or have you heard of the Mollet Band?
Well, the Mollet Band only come into existence just quite recently, you know. But you know what the Mollet is, don't you? Huh? Yeah, that's it. A float, yeah. But the Mollet Band only come in to fruition, as I say, just recently. It is more like a skiffle group, if you like, of today, you know.
But I believe they are named after a group of fishermen in Castletown and in Ramsey who were called the Moloch Band, and they were out and about the same time as the White Boys.
That's quite right, the Moloch Band, yeah. But to my mind, they only come into fruition just recently, or come on the market recently, or come to the fore recently, whichever way you want to interpret it, you know. But in Castletown, you know, we had no Moloch Band as such. We had the White Boys and the Wanta then, and that was Castletown, you know.
Did you also do Hop Tune A?
Pardon?
Did you do Hop Tune A?
Yes, we done Hop Tune A as well, yeah, a whole lot, yeah. Tiny the Spinny went over the strand together, apron full of sand, Hop Tune A. Tiny the Spinny went round the house to catch a stick, to catch the mouse. That's it, Hop Tune A. Oh.
And did you have a turnip lantern with you when you were doing it?
Yes, we had a turnip lantern, yeah, we carved it out, yeah. We never bought a turnip, of course, we went and pinched them out of the field. you never bought a turnip in those days. I mean, today, a turnip like that is 50p. We used to get one like that, make a lantern, and put the candle inside in the jam jar. Now, the reason for putting it in the jam jar is that the jam jar, being inside the turnip, you see, would absorb any puffs or whiffs of wind, so the candle wouldn't blow out. But if you put the candle in an ordinary turnip without the jam jar, it would blow out, you know, you'd be left in the dark.
Sorry, I didn't know you got visitors. Would you like tea or coffee?
A cup of tea would be nice.
Tea? Two teas.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Well, how far are we up to now? What more do we want?
Anything you can remember about the White Boys? I think we've covered a lot about the White Boys. Well, what sort of costumes did you wear?
White, yeah.
Everyone was in white?
Everybody except the doctor. The doctor was in surgical.
George has sweetener. Do you like sugar in your tea?
No, thank you.
The doctor was dressed in clerical black, of course, you know, and he called the tune. Teddy Blackburn, he called the tune. Yeah. We had good one, you know. As I say, we never went in the pub. In those days, we kept out of the pub, but not like the day when they go in the pub.
So did you have swords at all?
Yeah, oh, we had a sword. A sword of a sword, a strip of wood with a handle in it, you know. Not spectacular. No metal, just wood. A slack of wood and a handle, you know.
Was it painted at all?
White. Oh, always painted white, yeah.
And did you wear any sort of hat?
We just had a white tricolour hat, you know, three-cornered hat, that was all.
And was that white as well?
Well, everything was white, yeah, yeah.
Including your shoes?
Not quite.
And who used to get you all together? Who used to decide that this now is the time?
Well,
that we should...
Teddy Blackburn's mother and sister were the organisers of us, you know. Because they lived in the big house in the Loose Street, you know. And Loose Street being the focal point, if you like, of Castletown. See, we would all congregate there because at that particular time we lived in 75 Loose Street, which was later demolished to widen the corner, you know, give better access to the corner. And after that, there were more accidents than ever. Yeah. But Teddy Blackburn and Teddy Blackburn's mother and his sister, Iris, they were the ones who dressed us up in the white boy gear, you know, with the pins all up, you know. Yeah. And like I told you about Mrs. Braid and Hunt the Brain, you know, she dressed us up in green and yellow paper. Hunt the Brain. And the son Lewis and I went on that. Lewis Braid. And I think, I can't quite remember, I think he died within the last couple of years. He lived out on Manrus. And I think he died, you know. But it's safe to say I'm the sole survivor of the white boys.